Welcome to the web course on Christian asceticism. My name is Father Luke Deisinger, and it is a great privilege and a delight to welcome you to the course. I'm going to describe the syllabus, and so I presume that you have the syllabus page up and that you're able to scroll up and down as we describe different aspects of it. Notice at the very top a note that this is a dynamic syllabus, which is to say that it will be changed as the course goes along. In relatively minor ways, we may add or perhaps subtract certain readings and even modify certain aspects of the course content depending on your response. So please bear in mind, and we'll mention this again in terms of evaluation, that your response, that is to say your participation in the discussion board, is very important in this course. Not only will it provide us with an opportunity to learn from one another, but it will also enable me to modify the course in ways that will allow it to be of greatest advantage and help to all of you. Let's look now at the description section of the syllabus. You will see that I've divided the course into seven sections. Let me admit right from the beginning that we will be spending the majority of our time in numbers 4 and 6. Number 4, philosophical and monastic models of virtue and vice. This will allow us to take a long and luxurious look at Evagrius Ponticus and John Cassian, who provide the basis for the understanding of virtue and vice in the Christian ascetical and mystical traditions that endures right down to the present time. Their writings are a very precious part of the Christian mystical and theological tradition and of the monastic heritage as well. And so it will behoove us to spend a fair amount of time looking very closely at especially Cassian's conferences and Evagrius Practicos and his text on discrimination, his text on thoughts. We will also be looking at friendship as a particular context and school for ascetical virtue. And in particular, we'll be looking at the classical texts on friendship that come from Aristotle and Cicero, but especially as they are modified and applied in the Christian context in the Mirror of Charity and in the text on spiritual friendship by St. Aelred of Rivaux. So Evagrius and Cassian will occupy us quite a bit in number 4, and Aristotle, Cicero, and Aelred will be our particular focus of attention in number 6. But being aware of that, let's look at the other sections of the course as well. We'll begin with studying the word asceticism, ascesis, and ascetic as they were used in ancient Greek literature and then in philosophy. We'll look briefly at their appropriation in the Christian tradition, particularly how they are transmitted through Philo of Alexandria, and we will look at a New Testament text as a kind of basis or perhaps a text for Lectio Divina on what asceticism can be for us in light of the gospel. We will then, in number 2, look at repentance and conversion as the basis, the fundamentals for authentic Christian ascetical practice. We'll look at the controversy within the monastic tradition on the translation of the term conversatio morum, the understanding of an ongoing conversion as well as a way of life, which is what conversatio actually means, that in a sense troubled but perhaps also provided a particular insight within the traditions that follow the rule of Saint Benedict and have been discussing this issue for nearly 1,000 years. We will then, in number 3, turn to the interrelationship between ascetical practice and contemplative vision. We will remind ourselves that you cannot speak simply of asceticism and practice and absolutely distinguish that from the notion of Christian contemplation. The two realities are intimately intertwined, as we will see in basic monastic sources and in some contemporary literature as well. I've mentioned number 4, that we will be emphasizing in particular the writings of Evagrius and Cassian, and in 5, we will look at asceticism as it's particularly practiced in the hermitage, in the experience of Christian solitude, and in the cenobium, in Christian community. We will then turn to the question of friendship as the place where virtue is learned and asceticism is particularly practiced. And then we will look at the area of spiritual exercise, a tradition which particularly is emphasized, the monastic tradition, in the Middle Ages, beginning especially with the writings of St. Gertrude of Helfta, and then it's exemplified and modified by Abbot Cisneros of the community of Montserrat, which served as the direct precursor for St. Ignatius' more famous spiritual exercises. We'll look at the way in which spiritual exercises have been used in monastic tradition as a way of reviving and revitalizing one's commitment to ascetical practice. The objectives are fairly straightforward and I think self-explanatory. An awareness, particularly of evagrius and cassian, in number two, experience with and familiarity with primary sources. Number three, particularly a knowledge of the interrelationship between contemplation and action, and how that interrelationship has always been understood as an intertwining and interconnected reality, even since the very beginning of the monastic tradition. We will understand the interrelationship between cenobitic and eremitic, that is to say, community and hermit-oriented religious life and Christian community. And we will become familiar with traditional, one might call them physical or corporal manifestations of asceticism, as well as the practices of Lectio Divina, liturgical prayer, and in particular, monologistic prayer in the Christian East. Under the course format and evaluation, just notice that this course is essentially divided, as far as evaluation, into two parts. The first is your participation in the discussion forum. In each section, we will have a different discussion forum, and I would invite you to participate in that very vigorously. Respond to one another. Reflect on your own readings and share with each other what you have been experiencing. This gives me a sense of how you're processing and interpreting the material and also allows me to nuance my presentations a little more effectively. That class participation in the discussion forums will be about 40% of the grade, and a research paper or a PowerPoint or web-based presentation will constitute the other portion of the course grade. You can do either a paper or a teaching-oriented PowerPoint or web-based presentation, but if you choose to do this latter option, you will need to submit with the presentation a recorded narrative of how you would use this in teaching so that I can understand how you would present it. So you have the option of doing either of those things, of either writing a paper or of doing a web-based or PowerPoint presentation for what you might call the final or for the paper. There will be no formal examinations in the course. Ongoing evaluation through the discussion forum will be more than sufficient as far as I'm concerned. The required texts are three: the RB 80, the 1980 translation and edition of the Rule of Saint Benedict with its beautiful introductions and appendices, which we will be using in addition to the text of the rule for this course. Let me then jump to number three, Charles Cummings' Monastic Practices, with which I think many of you may already be familiar, a popular and usable text on many aspects of monastic life. And then number two, a text with which some of you may not be as familiar. It's a controversial text in some ways. It is the best defense of Christian asceticism, I believe, that can be found in the scholarly literature. Peter Brown is without question the world's most authoritative writer on St. Augustine, and he understands the monastic tradition very well. However, he is not a practicing Christian. And his style can sometimes seem to be rather skeptical, although I don't think it really is. And in the area of sexuality, which is what he is most concerned with in this text, his examples are sometimes rather vivid. So I hope no one finds them too offensive. If you find it too perplexing a text, of course, you can be dispensed from it. But reading Brown, I believe, will be a very useful and important part of our course. The recommended texts I will be referring to during the course of our time together, and they are available here simply to provide you with the opportunity to know how to obtain them through the publisher or through a local library if you like them. At the bottom of the syllabus is a description, again, of the seven sections of the course, which I have already described. And as I mentioned, this section of the syllabus will be adapted and adjusted as the course goes on. Thank you very much.